Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. Believe it or not, your pastor has some bad habits. I know that's difficult to wrap your mind around, but I'm not perfect, and one of the bad habits that I have involves driving. So if you are like my daughter, if you're learning how to drive right now, I encourage you not to develop this bad habit. So here it is. Almost every time I get in the car to drive, I will start the car, I'll pull out of my driveway or my parking spot, and then it's only after I begin pulling forward that I will buckle my seatbelt. I know, I should be arrested on the spot today, right? Take me away. All right. Now, I know this is a bad habit, not only because that's not what I was taught in driver's ed. In fact, I was taught to buckle my seatbelt even before I started the car. But I also know it's a bad habit because about 4 years ago, when our son Ethan was 6 years old, he told me it was a bad habit. So this was when we were still living up in Fort Worth. At that time, we lived in a house. I parked on the street in front of our house. And so he and I, we had gotten in the car to go somewhere together. I don't remember where we were going. But it was just the two of us, and I started to pull forward away from the house, and as I was pulling forward, I started to buckle my seatbelt, and he said, "Dad, you need to buckle your seatbelt first. That's a bad habit." Now, this is just a side note, but let me give this reminder to us this morning. Parents, our children are watching. Right? Our children are watching, and the things that we may feel like are going unseen, our children see even those things. Those little eyes are watching, and they're learning. And some of the habits that we have, whether they're good habits or whether they're bad habits, they can easily be passed down to our children. So let's make every effort to pass down good habits. But the reality is that Ethan was right. It is a bad habit, and on occasion, I will still hear that little voice in the back of my head saying, "That's a bad habit," and I will buckle my seatbelt before I even start the car. So last week, we launched into a new series titled Habits Worth Holding On To. And if you remember, at the start of this year, I've cast a simple vision for us for this year. Let's hold on to the things worth holding on to. Recognizing there are some things that as believers we should hold on to, and then there are some things that as believers we should not hold on to. We should let go of some things. Let's make every effort to hold on to the things that are worth holding on to. This is true for our habits as well. There are some habits that we have that maybe they're not the best habits. We should let go of those habits. But then there are some habits that we have that are probably a little bit better. These are good habits. We need to hold on to those habits. So let's hold on to the habits worth holding on to. So over the course of this series, we're looking at five different habits that for us as believers and for us as a church body, these are habits worth holding on to. And we've started out by looking at our mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Now, if you're newer with us, we have a simple mission: to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. These are four things that we as a church, we have said we believe this is what God has called us to do through His Word. And so last week we kicked off this series by talking about the habit of love, being in the habit of love. This morning we're going to talk about being in the habit of growing, more specifically holding on to the habit of growing in God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the book of Psalms is pretty much towards the center of the Bible. So you can turn to Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It has 176 verses in total. Now, don't worry, I read fast. All right, I'm not really going to read all 176 verses this morning. But we are going to look at just a small chunk of these verses. We're going to look at verses 97 through 104. Psalm 119, 97 through 104. Now, the reason Psalm 119 is such a long psalm is because the author of this particular psalm, he wrote a different section in this psalm for every single letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 sections within this psalm. Now, why did the author of this psalm do this? Well, for the ancient Israelites, they had to learn their alphabet just like our children have to learn their alphabet. And so much like our learning techniques, they would learn through repetition. A good tip for you if you're trying to start a new habit, use repetition. Now, you can't see this in our English translation. However, in the Hebrew language, in the original Hebrew that this was written in, the first letter of each line begins with the same letter from the Hebrew alphabet designated for that section. And so those learning to read and write the Hebrew alphabet would repeat each letter over and over again throughout the entirety of this psalm. But just as fundamental as it was for them to learn the Hebrew alphabet, they saw learning the law or learning God's word as being fundamentally important as well. And so for the Jews reading this psalm, learning to read this psalm, learning to write this psalm, it would allow for the young learner to walk away with two very important things: both a knowledge of their alphabet, but also a love for God's word. And I think there are a couple of things that we can take away from this. First, as believers, we should see learning God's word as fundamental for our spiritual growth. We should see learning God's word as fundamental for God's worth. In other words, if we desire to grow spiritually, if we desire to grow in our relationship with God, and we should, then we should prioritize learning God's word, understanding that God's word is God Himself speaking to us. And it contains God's truth for our day-to-day lives, instructing us on how we are to live as we grow. It's our primary source of spiritual growth, and so we should make every effort to grow in it. But not only should we see learning God's word as fundamental for our spiritual growth, we should also see learning God's word as fundamental for the spiritual growth of the next generation. Now, if you're a parent in here, if you have children in your home, then chances are you teach your children, you have taught your children to learn and grow simply as humans. You teach them right from wrong. You teach them how to use the toilet. At least I hope you do. In our family early on, we taught our children how to tell jokes because laughter is important. Then they begin school, and we begin to prioritize them learning how to read and write, and they learn how to write our own alphabet. And as they get older, they might learn how to play a sport. They might learn how to play an instrument. And then the subjects in school get harder. They learn biology and chemistry and geometry and calculus and maybe even a foreign language. All of these things I can't even help my kids with. And while all of those things are valuable for them to learn and grow as humans, the reality is they do absolutely nothing for their soul. So we must be faithful to prioritize teaching them God's word from an early age that they might know God's word, love God's word, and be led by God's word. Because one day they're going to stand before a holy God. And while all of those classes and extracurricular activities, they're going to help them to learn and grow as they walk in this life, God's word is going to help them to learn to walk with the Lord. And so because God's word is fundamental for our spiritual growth and for our walks with the Lord, we're going to look at God's word together right now. So with that in mind, we're going to read our passage, Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. It says, "How I love your instruction. It is my meditation all day long. Your command makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, because your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the elders, because I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path to follow your word. I have not turned from your judgments, for you yourself have instructed me. How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, as we look at this passage, I want you to see a trend here in this particular section of this psalm. Throughout this section, we see the psalmist use very personal words, saying, I love makes me wiser. I have, I understand, my taste, I gain. The psalmist sees and understands that his spiritual growth is something that he must take personal ownership in. In other words, others couldn't love God's word for him. Others couldn't grow in God's word for him. His spiritual growth required personal and intentional participation. The same is true for us as well. Growing in God's word requires a personal and an intentional participation. Hear that again. Growing in God's word requires a personal and an intentional participation. So back when I first started working in the business office for Dollar Thrifty Automotive Group, this was several years ago before I was in full-time ministry. When I first started working in the business office, the IT department was located on campus with us. And so if we had any issues with our computer, we could call the IT department. They'd send someone over to look at the computer with us, and they could fix whatever problem it was. We'd be able to go on with our day. But then at some point along the way while I was working there, they decided that it would be more cost-effective to outsource the IT department to another company. And they didn't just outsource it to another company in town or even in the state. They outsourced it to a company overseas, which you can imagine made it incredibly difficult when we had issues with our computers. No longer was it just a simple fix that we could just go on with our day. Now, I wasn't in charge of the company. Wasn't my decision. I don't know if it was a good decision or not on their part, right? I think it was a bad decision, but I don't know on their part if it was a good decision or not. But understand, when it comes to our spiritual growth, when it comes to the study of God's word, we can't outsource our growth in God's word. We can't outsource our growth in God's word. Others can't grow in God's word for us. Our parents can't. Our grandparents can't, our friends can't, even our pastors can't. Listen, I can make every effort to teach you from God's word while we have this time together on Sunday mornings, but the reality is the time that we have together on Sunday mornings is really short in comparison to all of the time that you have throughout the week. We have 30 minutes or less together looking at God's word every Sunday morning. And so I can teach you God's word as we look at God's word together during this time, but at the end of the day, I can't grow in God's word for you. No one can. We can't outsource our growth in God's word, because growing in God's word requires a personal and an intentional participation. So let me give you just two ways this morning for you to begin growing in God's word personally and intentionally, if you aren't already doing so. So first, grow in God's word through personal study outside of the church. So there are many different devotionals that you can get your hands on, you can order online to go along with reading of Scripture to help you better understand the Scripture that you're reading. You can find devotionals on places like Amazon, Lifeway, Mardell, right? You can order yourself a devotional. But we also have, this day and age, we have what we call smartphones. And almost every smartphone, if not every smartphone, has the ability to download an app called the Bible app. And with the Bible app, they offer free reading plans, free devotionals, free resources to help you learn and grow in God's word. But not only that, you can set a reminder in the Bible app so that it will remind you at the same time every day that it's time to read God's Word. Another technique if you are trying to develop a new habit. Set yourself that reminder. Now, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I post a little scripture every single day with a little something that I share with that scripture. Now, my desire in that is not to replace your personal study of God's Word, but my hope is that maybe you will read that scripture, you'll read the little bit that I share with that scripture, and that it will whet your appetite, giving you the desire to dig into God's Word deeper. So grow in God's Word through personal study outside of the church, but second, grow in God's Word through collective study within the church. Now, collective study within the church is happening in part right now as we're in this room together, but really what's happening right now is more of a monologue as you listen to me speak. But every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., we have what we call growth groups. Now, some of you may be more familiar with the term Sunday school. And if you still call it Sunday school, that's okay. I understand that's just another habit that we're in, right? It doesn't bother me if you still call it Sunday school. But while our time in here is more of a monologue, our time in our growth groups or our time in our Sunday school classes, that is more of a dialogue where we get to engage in conversation and discuss God's Word together so that we can walk away with a better understanding of the passage that we are looking at. And I know that I'm the pastor saying this, but let me just say that the growth group that Sarah and I participate in every Sunday morning, it is incredibly encouraging to me each and every week as I get to hear from others how God's Word is being applied in their life, how God's Word is impacting their life, not just within this building, but outside of this building every single day. And so if you didn't know this already, we have growth groups for every single age group, from babies on up to senior adults. Now, the babies, that's more of a playtime, right? They're still learning, all right? But we have growth groups for every single age group. And so let me encourage you to get plugged into a growth group. Get plugged into collective study so that you can grow and discuss God's Word with one another. And so to help you apply this outside of the sanctuary, as you leave this morning, there is a table with all of our different growth groups. And I'm encouraging you to sign up for one of those growth groups. All you're doing, you'll put your name down. You can put your phone number down too if you want to, so that we can contact you and just let you know, hey, we're excited about you getting involved in this growth group. And if you have questions, if you're like, I don't know which one best fits me, that's right. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to get you plugged in so that you can begin growing in God's Word personally and intentionally. So we know that we need to grow in God's Word personally and intentionally. Let me just give you three more reasons from our text this morning as to why we should be in the habit of growing in God's Word as believers. First, we should be in the habit of growing in God's Word because God's Word is incomparable. So verse 97 begins begins by saying, "How I love your instruction." And the Hebrew word that's translated there as the word how is actually a comparison word. So the psalmist is not simply saying, when he says, how I love your instruction, he's not simply saying, I love your instruction so much. What he's actually saying when he says, how I love your instruction is, I love your instruction more than anything else. Which I think begs the question of us this morning. Do you love God's Word more than anything else? Now, I think that it's tempting to simply just jump to that answer and say yes. Yes, I love God's Word more than anything else, because we know that that's the answer that we should give. So let me just ask a few different questions this morning to maybe help us look inward and maybe answer this question a little bit more honestly for ourselves. Do you love God's Word more than scrolling on social media? Do you love God's Word more than watching TV shows and movies? Do you love God's Word more than reading other books? Do you love God's word more than hunting and fishing? Do you love God's word more than watching or playing sports? Teenagers, young adults, do you love God's word more than playing video games? Now, none of these things that I listed are bad things. In fact, we could argue that most of these things that I listed are pretty good things. But the reality is as we look at all of these things, we devote a lot of time to all of these things. And yet, this is what I hear often, and I'll confess, this is an excuse that I have given at times myself. I just don't have enough time to study God's Word. There's not enough time in the day for me to sit down and look at God's Word. And yet, as we look at all of these other things that we devote our time to, and a lot of time at that, I think the reality is that we don't have a time problem. We have a love problem. We don't have a time problem. We have a love problem. If we're honest with ourselves, we simply love all of these other things more than we love God's Word. Now listen, if I'm stepping on your toes this morning, understand I'm stepping on my toes as well. And yet, the psalmist has developed a love for God's Word to the point that he says he meditates on it all day long. In other words, he loves God's Word so much that he thinks about it all day, every day. Now, that may not be where we're at yet, and that's okay. But let me encourage you to begin looking at God's Word, begin studying God's Word, and ask God, give me a love for your Word that I might begin meditating on it, thinking about it all day to the point that it fills my thoughts and it leads my life each and every day, because God's Word is incomparable. There's nothing greater. Second, we should be in the habit of growing in God's Word because God's Word gives us wisdom. Verse 98 says, God's commands make the psalmist wiser. Verse 99 says that he has more insight because of God's Word. Verse 100 says that he understands more because of God's Word. Now, in all of these instances, the psalmist is making comparisons with other people, wiser than his teachers, more insight than his enemies, and understanding more than the elders. Now, in the New Testament, when we see that word elder, oftentimes it's used interchangeably with the terms pastor and shepherd. However, that's not the word that we see here when we see the word elder. This is referring to really how we use the term elder today, referring to someone that's older than us. In fact, in some of your translations, you might see instead of saying the elders, it says the ancients. Now, if you're older than me in here today, I'm not saying that you're ancient, right? God's word might be, but I'm not saying that you're ancient. But here's the reality. The psalmist is not being prideful, arrogant when he says that he's wiser, has more insight, or understands more. He's simply recognizing the superiority of the wisdom that comes from God's word over the wisdom of this world. Understand, God's word has a greater wisdom. God's word has a greater wisdom. We can spend our lives learning everything we possibly can from all the books in this world. We can learn everything we can through all of our personal experience throughout the course of a lifetime. And yet, even if we gain all of this wisdom from the knowledge and the experience that we have in this world, and yet we do not know and we do not submit to the truth of God's word, then we are still lacking in wisdom. We're still lacking in knowledge because there is no greater truth to be gained than the truth that we gain through the study of God's word. God's word has a greater wisdom. And so recognizing that God's word not only gives us wisdom, but gives us a greater wisdom than we can gain in anything else in this world, we should absolutely be in the habit of growing in God's word. Third and finally, we should be in the habit of growing in God's word because God's word leads us in righteousness. Now, this is not to say that simply reading God's word makes us righteous. Don't hear that. But reading, studying God's Word, learning God's Word, it leads us in both understanding and doing what is right according to God's standards. Not according to our standards, not according to the world's standards, according to God's standards. In fact, the psalmist says in verse 101, I have kept my feet from every evil path. Verse 104 says, I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every false way. You know, as we think about the truth of God's word causing us to hate every false way, let me just reword it like this for the sake of our series this morning. Holding on to God's word will lead us to let go of sin. Holding on to God's word will lead us to let go of sin. Here's the deal. We cannot hold on to both. We cannot hold on to God's word and also hold on to our sin. We will either love God's word and hate our sin, or we will love our sin and hate God's word. But we cannot love both. We cannot hold on to God's word while still clinging to our sin. Holding on to God's word will lead us to let go of sin, because God's word leads us in righteousness. And the greatest way that God's word leads us in righteousness is through the gospel, through the good news that Jesus came into this world to die for a very unrighteous people, you and me. He went to the cross. He died on that cross. He rose again 3 days later, and Scripture tells us, anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And when we call upon the name of Jesus, when we are saved, what happens is Jesus gives a very unrighteous people a righteous standing before a holy God. We can't do that on our own. Only Jesus can do that for us, and we learn this in His Word. God's Word leads us in righteousness. And so growing in God's word should be a habit in our lives. And if you would look at your life and say, you know what, it's not a habit in my life. In fact, I'm doing all of these other things before I look at God's word. And maybe you need to hear that voice in your head this morning saying, that's a bad habit, that you might develop a new habit, a good habit, growing in God's word beginning today. Growing in God's word is a habit worth holding on to. Now, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord, then understand the first step for you is not to begin growing in God's word. The first step for you is to submit to the truth of God's word, to respond to this good news that Jesus died for you, that you might allow Him to become the Lord of your life. If you've never done that, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so I'm going to invite Cody up. We're going to sing another song here in just a minute. This is going to be a time for you to respond this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, you know what, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never trusted in Him as my Lord. But today I've heard the good news that Jesus died for me, and I'm ready to call upon His name that I might be saved. If that's you, then I want to invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can step out of your seat. You can join me down here. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but if I'm honest, growing in God's word has not been a habit of mine. And so maybe today you need to make that commitment to God that you're going to allow it to become a habit in your life. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. Maybe that response is by signing up on that growth group table as you leave today. If you need someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step to publicly declare Christ as my Lord through baptism, just like we saw Colby, Kara, and Brooke do this morning. If that's you, if you need to take that step of baptism, then I'd be more than happy to make that commitment with you this morning. Love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to be a part of this church body, to join this church on mission, to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, I would invite you to respond obediently. Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.